the controversial attorney for the so-called whistleblower to President Trump cease and desist or be held morally responsible.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So the attorney, fairly embattled right now since he called for a coup. The same month President Trump took the oath of office in 2017, predicted an impeachment, said that CNN will ultimately play a key role in leading to the president's removal. I mean, this is someone, again, who has showed they try to describe themselves as a nonpartisan centrist. Yeah, right. That's why you're calling for a coup, a rebellion, an impeachment, that CNN will play a role in Real Donald Trump not finishing out his full term as president. Well, that same year in 2017, Mark Zed was a troll of Jay Sekulow from the ACLJ. Now, again, we get lots of trolls. My dad represents the president. I'm on the president's legal team. So there's lots of people out there. But this guy, he loved commenting back that we didn't even really pay attention to this. So, Mark, we didn't even know about you, honestly, until you represent this whistleblower and wanted all this attention for yourself because, man, you tweet a lot. I thought, I tweet a decent amount, but man, you tweet a lot and you retweet a lot and you retweet not very carefully. Like, by the way, yesterday you retweeted, let's put it up on the screen for everybody. You retweeted yesterday or a couple days ago the name of your whistleblower because you retweeted someone who had in their tweet a retweet of the name, I'm not going to even say it, but there it is, of the whistleblower. That is from your account, Mark. And yet you sent a cease and desist letter to the president and the White House yesterday calling for them to stop talking about the whistleblower. And I know, Mark, you're an attorney. So I am too. When you're an attorney and you end your letter by saying, we will not a stop at holding people accountable, even morally, then you've got no legal basis for your letter. You're just trying to scare people off from their First Amendment rights to talk. Second, your whistleblower doesn't even qualify as a whistleblower because as we've kind of gone through before, but we've looked at again. So for everybody to be clear here, the whistleblower complaint against President Trump does not meet the two requisite conditions set forth in the internet, the whistleblower's complaint statute. The wrongful conduct must involve the intelligence activity. So it must involve intelligence activity to be a whistleblower from the CIA. Second, it must be committed by a member of the intelligence community. So you have to be blowing the whistle on someone who is part of the intelligence community. Not the president, not his policy decisions or phone calls that you heard about via hearsay. So, Mark, your client isn't even a whistleblower for purposes of the statute. The IG can determine whether or not they want to disclose the name or not, but he is the only person in that situation, the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, who has to is bound by determining whether or not to disclose the name of the whistleblower. By the way, if this gets to the Senate, guess who is a witness that could be called if there was a trial in the Senate, and a full trial? The whistleblower. At that point, their testimony could be extremely relevant, and it would no longer be in secret. So, crying out and pulling at the heartstrings, and please, and now it's a cease and desist because you'll be morally responsible. It is disgusting what they are doing to our president, and I just wanted to point out, and I'll go through the tweets, these are the same lawyers who've been attacking us. They've been attacking Jay Sekulow, the president's counsel, since the very beginning. Which also reminds you, the president has been under assault like this since the very beginning of his presidency, since 2017. His attorneys getting attacked by the lawyers who now are at the heart of the impeachment of President Trump, the so-called impeachment by the House. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I don't think President Trump is going to back down because of a cease and desist letter that ends with morally responsible. Oh, that's really legal, Mark. Good for you, Mark. We've got a matching challenge, ACLJ.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
So I know we're talking to millions of folks right now on our radio broadcast, but I want to let you know, too, for our Facebook Periscope listeners, we're almost up to 9,000 people watching the broadcast. So if you're on Facebook and Periscope, I didn't have time during the break to talk to you as we played some of those videos of other people responding to this absurd cease and desist letter from the whistleblower. By the way, it's not getting a ton of attention. That's about the news we could find on it. But I wanted to focus in on it because I wanted to show you the absurdity of the lawyers who are representing the whistleblower that Adam Schiff lied about having contact with. And by the way, the fired Ukrainian ambassador, guess what we now know? She lied while she was under oath because in her testimony about her contacts with Democrat staffers on Capitol Hill on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. She was asked directly by Lee Zeldin. This was Marie Yovanovitch, who will be testifying next week. Adam Schiff, good choice there. By the way, all three people testifying next week, none of them were on the phone call. Anything they learned about the call was based off other people's accounts and other people's accounts and other people's accounts. I mean, Marie Yovanovitch was removed from her position. And by the way, ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president, so he didn't have to have a reason why even. But I think there was a pretty good reason why she couldn't be trusted, because she's a liar. She lied to Congress. And it was stupid, too, because it was something where she could have easily been straightforward about. That's what makes me so concerned always and sickened by these deep state actors, these foreign policy actors. She gets asked by Lee Zeldin, were you contacted by the House staffer on the House Foreign Affairs Committee? She said, yes, and I referred that contact and request for a meeting to the correct office within the State Department. Did you respond at all? No, I didn't. I had no further communications. And then we find out she did respond right away that she would love to have the meeting, that she would love to get together as soon as that possible, but that she needed to get the approval of the relevant State Department agency. So there wouldn't have been an issue with her being clear about that, but yet she felt like she needed to lie to Congress about that communication, which makes it suspicious. Timing also suspicious. This all starts, this dialogue between the fired former Ukrainian ambassador, but still works at the State Department. She was recalled from her position. She starts lying about these communications with Democrat House staffers 2 days after the whistleblower files the complaint, which means in the public hearings next week, she should certainly be asked, one, did you know about the complaint before the public? Two, did you have the meeting with the House Democrat staffer on the House Foreign Affairs Committee? I mean, there's a lot going on here, folks, that I think, as I have said on the broadcast yesterday, I will say it again today, and I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio show. These Democrats, they've got to always be careful what you wish for when you have these closed, fake public hearings like you will next week, where you're not allowing the lawyers, and who knows if they're going to allow any of the Republican requests for witnesses to testify. We'll get that list, I guess, on Saturday, and we'll see if Adam Schiff agrees to any of those folks. But at the end of the day, be careful what you wish for, because now we know you've already got someone coming up at the end of the week. You're going to finish the week with Marie Yovanovitch, Than, who is now been caught in a lie in her testimony.
Such a huge problem for Democrats, Jordan. I mean, you're correct that there would be no problem with her replying truthfully to that inquiry unless, Jordan, the underlying conversation that took place after was something that she couldn't let get out in the open. It begs the question of whether or not there was coordination with Chairman Schiff and his staff. I mean, that's the only explanation I can think of for lying to that question to Congress, Jordan. But here's the other thing. As big of a problem as it is for Ambassador Yovanovitch, Jordan, it's a bigger problem for Chairman Schiff because it makes him a subject matter witness to the content that he's supposed to be chairing a hearing for. So you talked about how Republicans have to turn in their list of witness requests by tomorrow, Jordan. I don't think there's any way that list can't have Adam Schiff on it. Now, Adam Schiff is going to block it. He's not going to testify before his own committee, but he's relevant to this, Jordan. I mean, the question of did Ambassador Yovanovitch have contact with Chairman Schiff and or his staff as all of this was rolling out? Jordan, there's two people who need to be asked that question, Ambassador Yovanovitch and Chairman Schiff. He needs to be on that witness list that Republicans turn in. So he's gone from a neutral arbiter, if you ever thought he was, to someone who, quite frankly, should be called to testify in these proceedings next week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, folks, we've got the info now. And let me just tell you something about this guy, then we're going to go to your phone calls. Mark Zed has sent over a dozen tweets at my dad, so at the President's Council, attacking him. Let me fix the headline for you. Trump lawyer at Jay Sekulow, president has no knowledge. When it was in response to a Fox News article about the initial beginnings of the Mueller report, and the president has no knowledge of being investigated, which was true at that point in time. Another one, he says, it's completely exaggerated at Jay Sekulow, speculative and premature to call for a grand jury based on known facts. This was in response to a grand jury that now is impaneled because of the potential misconduct by the FBI and DOJ in the origins of the Russia investigation. So, Mark, you sent that a little. Again, you get ahead of yourself by going and saying people are wrong and premature because we predicted what would happen, and ultimately there is a grand jury looking at the potential wrongdoing. If there was criminal conduct, that's the only reason a grand jury is impaneled. Not to see if they were like, we know that the IG is probably going to find a lot of issues with how the Russia probe was handled. And it's one thing to find issues, but the grand jury is only looking at criminal. Okay, so that exists. Of course, he called for my dad to be investigated in a tweet February 27th. He mocked him again on when he said that he was not concerned about the president testifying to the special counsel if he decided to do so. Ultimately, that was done in questions were done in writing. And he said, I'd be very concerned. Mocking, you know, the truth of Jay Sekulow again. This is a guy, let's put it up on the screen. I'm not going to read the name of the whistleblower. Lots of people have. I'm not going to do that. But Mark Zed, on his Twitter account, he retweeted someone whose tweet included the name of the whistleblower. You see on this tweet, it's from a guy named Scott Rome, who is a real estate attorney in D.C. And he said, man, if Mark really wanted to start a left-wing coup against Trump, I think he would have called me an actual lefty. He is a centrist and nonpartisan, which is such, there's no such thing. I mean, really, a centrist is a centrist. You could be a centrist, but you'd still be partisan. You probably still have a side. So you may not be a far-left liberal, but you certainly are not a fan of the president. Okay, so you've wanted to take down this president since day one, as we've said, 10 days after he was sworn in. How can you call him a centrist nonpartisan when he's calling for the impeachment of the president? But in this same retweet is a tweet from Seb Gorka naming the whistleblower. It says, this is, and the whistleblower's name. I mean, This is from, look at the top, who retweeted it on November 6th, a few days ago? Mark Zed. And he's sending a cease and desist letter to the White House counsel to tell the president to stop talking about even generically the whistleblower. The president has again, not specifically named the whistleblower. I think, like most of us, he's tweeted articles where the name has appeared in it. His son, who is not an official, again, tweeting articles, just like Mark Zed, his attorney. Donald Trump Jr. did nothing different. Mark Zed did the same thing. He retweeted something like Don Jr. sent out a news article that had the name of the whistleblower, the so-called name of the whistleblower. No one's disputed that that is the person, by the way. No one has disputed that that is the name. So that's the wide assumption is that everybody knows this name in Washington. If that was not the right person, you would think that that person would come out quickly and say, not me. You know, I've got a job at the CIA, and this is not me. But this guy outed his own person, and he's going to tell the White House to cease and desist. But this gets even better. This is the official letter sent to the president. We haven't gotten to it yet. This is from Mark Zed and his partner. I am writing out of deep concern that your client, the president of the United States, is engaging in rhetoric and activity that places my client, the intelligence community whistleblower, who doesn't meet the intelligence community whistleblower statute because this wasn't an intelligence issue and it wasn't an intelligence, a member of the intelligence agency that was the whistle was blown on, so he's not really a whistleblower for purposes of that. It places them and their family in physical danger. It goes on to say, so you have no First Amendment rights to confront your accuser, right? It goes on to say, those who are complicit, I love this kind of language, right? Like it reminds me of the ICC case we've got coming up week of December, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Those who are complicit in this vindictive campaign against my client, whether through action or inaction, by doing nothing, shall also be responsible, be that legally, and this is when you know they've got no legal standing, no legal case, as one famous radio host likes to say, you have no case, legally or morally responsible. Well, I mean, morals are good, ethics are good, but that's not legal. You know, that's not court. People don't, you're not doing anything wrong. If it's just someone's opinion that it's a moral issue for you, that's the weakest. That's when you know lawyers are at their weakest point. But these guys are like begging for attention. If they really wanted the whistleblower, how about don't retweet things without reading it, Mark? How about don't send cease and desist letters to get more attention on the whistleblower? You are begging for interviews on TV. We'll be right back. Don't forget our matching challenge at ACLJ.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, I know we're talking to millions of people right now on the radio broadcast. We played a couple videos for you, kind of updating you about other ACLJ work as well, and some about this whistleblower controversy. For those who are watched our video live broadcast on Facebook and Periscope, share this broadcast with your friends and family, because this is new information as of yesterday. One, the whistleblower sending a cease and desist letter, their attorney, to the president. Like, the president doesn't have a First Amendment right. And by the way, the only person bound by the intelligence community's whistleblower protection act is the IG, and the IG can determine whether or not to give anonymity or not to the whistleblower. And in fact, this would not be an appropriate whistleblower under the Whistleblower Protection Act for the intelligence community. The intelligence community is singled out specifically because of the dangers it would pose to our national security if anyone in the intelligence community could be whistleblowers, because of the access to highly classified information they have and the ability then for them to be releasing that under the cover of anonymity, and potentially where other people would be breaking the law by releasing that information, they would be actually doing it under the protection of law. Second, it's, again, as I want to go back to, you want to get into substance here? Here's the big issue. These people just don't like the policies the president's enacting. Whether it's Marie Yovanovitch, liar to Congress now, we can say that. And a dumb lie too, Marie. Dumb. Because easy for you to say, hey, yes, I responded that it needed to go through the appropriate channels and I'd love to talk to you. But now you've opened up a door that you are not a truthful person. So good on you, Adam Schiff. That's how you're going to finish out the week next week, with someone who lied to you and lied to the rest of the committee when they were behind closed doors. That's why I always say, put 100 cameras in their face and see how they do next week. It's going to be very interesting with the guy, George Kent, with his bow tie and 100 cameras on him next week. Is he going to be so hard, tough on the president? Is he going to be a big, tough guy? It's a lot different when you're in the basement of a Capitol room surrounded by Democrat allies helping you with your testimony. So I think always, so far what we have seen, Than, is that when Democrats do go public, and that's why I think they didn't ever want to, but they really had to, even when they go public with their chosen witnesses, things have not gone well for them. And Bob Mueller is the perfect example for that.
No question about it, Jordan. I mean, look, it's also easy to throw attacks and barbs from the anonymity of the internet or social media. I mean, look, I equate this directly to the examples you've been giving for these two attorneys. For 3 years, they've been happy to throw barbs, Jordan, whether it's at your dad or the president of the United States. They've been happy to call for coups. They've been happy to attack attorneys who are doing work out in public. It's all fun and games until the attacks or the retaliations or just the arguments, Jordan, start flying back in their direction. When they start coming back in their direction, they're very quick to fire off cease and desist letters. But Jordan, look, I mean, I made this argument earlier about Adam Schiff being a subject matter witness. These two attorneys, Jordan, they're every bit the subject matter witness that Ambassador Yovanovitch is now. I mean, they need to be asked, was there contact with Adam Schiff beforehand? They need to be asked about their activities to launch a coup. They need to be asked about their activities to try to get an impeachment proceeding brewing. So they have moved from just attorneys who, look, the whistleblower has a right to counsel, Jordan. I mean, we know that's a sacred right. We would never counter that. But these attorneys have not just acted in that capacity, Jordan. They have been active participants in it. So I don't think that the witnesses that the Democrats are going to call next week are going to be favorable to them. And quite frankly, a lot of the questions that Republicans will want to ask will be directed at the chairman and these two attorneys.
Wes, you're a chaplain in the U.S. Armed Forces. I've got nothing wrong, obviously, as a Christian with holding people the standards and personal morality. But when a lawyer sends a cease and desist letter, they don't usually end it, if they've got a serious case, that you will be held responsible morally.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the weakest legal argument, because morally has nothing to do with courts or law. That's just kind of being nasty to be nasty, like somehow what you're doing is immoral, yes, is what it implies, and thus you're a bad person for doing so. Again, I've got no problem with morality, no issue with wanting to have moral leaders and moral leadership, but I don't like lawyers threatening cease and desist letters and ending it with moral responsibility. And even as you know, as a person who is a chaplain, and again, it's just it, It's not the strongest legal argument. No, maybe a strong argument when you're talking about ethics and faith, sure. but not in court.
Well, it's a not so veiled attempt to bring in the big guns of the Almighty.
Yeah.
You're not only violating the law, which of course they're not, but you're also somehow a bad person in bringing in shame. Jordan, this whole process, there are so many behind the scenes shenanigans, attempts to mislead the American people. They are so focused on impeachment that what they're doing, speaking of morals, they're falling into that classic moral trap of allowing the desired end to justify the means, even if the means lack honesty and integrity. They are so focused on trying to impeach this president. It is rich that he mentioned morals, because morals and honesty and integrity have gone by the wayside with Adam Schiff and some of his witnesses and all the things that are going on. Never before in American history has impeachment and impeachment inquiry been so totally, totally partisan. There's not even a semblance of balance or fairness in
this. Like they're not even trying to convince half the country, which, by the way, not great also, because impeachment is inherently political, and our founders have said that, and they talked about that as well as they try to keep it as non-political as possible, but it is inherently political because it's a decision made by the political branch, you know, that runs for office and isn't held to the same kind of legal standards of what conduct arises that would be impeachable. And the House does it by just a majority vote, where it comes into and becomes very difficult, and why no one has ever been removed from office who has been impeached as president. There have been lower level officials, but presidents who have been impeached. There's only been two where it's gone through that far. Both were, neither one of them were convicted by the Senate. And so, in fact, this again goes to a dangerous political game, Than. We don't have time for a phone call right now. When we come back, second half hour, we're going to focus on your phone calls. And folks, 1-800-684-3110. So Jonah, Kevin, Scott, you're all going to get copies of my new book, The Next Red Wave, if you hold on through the next break. It's a short break, and we'll start getting your phone calls even in the first 5 minutes of the broadcast. Let me encourage you right now, folks, and I haven't said a lot today because we've got a lot of news. We are in a matching challenge month. We're heading to the International Criminal Court, and we've got some kind of new information there to share with you today as we talk to Wes about examples of how this court case could really impact even the power of the pardon power of the president when it comes to members of our armed forces who have been maybe convicted by court-martial and or in other courts. Let me encourage you. During the month of November, every donation you make to the American Center for Law and Justice is effectively doubled. So we have a group of donors that comes together, and they say, we're going to match every donation that comes through to the ACLJ this month. But they don't donate anything until you take action. So you've got to make that initial donation for them to then match it. So go to ACLJ.org, donate today. We've got this huge case, biggest case, in international case certainly in our history, one of the biggest cases ever the ACLJ has handled, coming at the International Criminal Court in less than a month, defending our troops, defending U.S. armed forces from the International Criminal Court's jurisdiction. We need your support. Double the impact of your donation. Donate now at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Let me encourage everyone right now, second half hour of the broadcast. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, and I'm saying this while I'm talking to everybody who's listening on radio, everybody who's listening on SiriusXM, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this broadcast now with your friends and family. You got the whistleblower's attorney. Let me just set the stage for you. The so-called whistleblower and his attorney, who is certainly under fire, threatening the White House now with a cease and desist letter. It was sent to the White House counsel telling the president, you have no First Amendment rights to speak. And if you do continue to speak, well, you'll be morally responsible for what happens to a whistleblower who doesn't meet the standards of being a whistleblower. Don't take that from Jordan. Take that from the Office of Legal Policy at the Department of Justice and the Intelligence Community's Whistleblower Protection Act, which says to be a whistleblower, if you come from the CIA like this whistleblower does, you've got to meet certain criteria. That criteria is, first, the alleged wrongful conduct must involve intelligence activity. Well, the alleged conduct here is he didn't like the phone call that he heard about between two heads of state. That is not intelligence activity. And second, it must be committed by a member of the intelligence community. The president of the United States, the president of Ukraine, they're not members of the intelligence community. So right away, would not be a whistleblower for purpose of the statute. The inspector general there got it wrong. And the Department of Justice has been clear on that. So this whole game about can you name them, can you not name them, you know, let me just make it clear to you. Let's put it on the screen again. And if you want to see the name, you can tune in to our Facebook broadcast. Brought to you by the attorney for the whistleblower who keeps crying about the whistleblowers being exposed. He sent out a retweet, and when you do that, puts out everything the person tweeted in that tweet, and guess what it includes? Well, he puts out a retweet of a person defending him, saying he's not partisan. He's a centrist. If he wanted to start a coup, he'd call me, a real estate attorney in D.C., to pitch in and help. No call, so no coup. I'll keep waiting by the phone. Ha, 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 Scott Rome. Scott Rome, but the retweet by Mark, the lawyer for the whistleblower, so-called whistleblower, included a tweet from Seb Gorka, and the first four lines of it say, this is, and a person's name, the whistleblower. You, Mark. You, the attorney for the whistleblower, outed the whistleblower. You shared the same name that everybody's been seeing over and over and over again. And again, I just want to make it clear to everybody, it wasn't the president who did it. It was literally, and who hasn't done it, it was literally the lawyer, the attorney for the whistleblower themselves. And this is a guy who's been trolling my dad since 2017. He is like a internet Twitter troll. Maybe he spends too much time on Twitter, not enough time on his whistleblower practice, because certainly didn't do a good job protecting this person, who, by the way, probably wouldn't qualify for any of the protections, but for they're a lefty. And if you're a lefty who made friends with Joe Biden, got invited to fancy events with Joe Biden and Brennan and Clapper, like meetings with the Prime Minister of Italy, and you might have an Italian last name, the whistleblower might have an Italian last name, and suddenly you get brought in as a mid-level CIA analyst. I mean, come on, folks. We're going to get to your phone calls. That's what we're doing when we come back. We're going to get thoughts from Wes, thoughts from Than about next week as well. There's some more testimony that's going to be released today, more transcripts, but really getting ready for these public hearings as well. I'll be on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast later today too, so with more information there. Support the work of the ACLJ. All of this work, you know, we've got the case out in Planned Parenthood case coming into closing arguments there, and then it'll go to the jury. We've got the International Criminal Court case in less than a month, a huge case involving the protection of our troops. November is a matching challenge month. Your donation is effectively doubled. It's a great time to financially support the work of the ACLJ. If you can make a financial contribution, whether it's $5 or $500 or somewhere in between, donate today at ACLJ.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
As I promised, we're going to get to phone calls right away on this latest move by the whistleblower, who is a internet troll of Jay Sekulow. Man, that guy's got a lot of time. If you're trolling my dad on Twitter. And by the way, Mark, he had no idea who you were. Still probably cannot pronounce your name. Had no, you know, lots of people reply to his tweets and statements. I don't even think you were mostly doing that. You were replying to other people talking about what he had to say. So we found this out and we started looking at your tweets about your coup and your impeachment and your prediction that CNN would help with that. And since you're the whistleblower, this so-called whistleblower's attorney, and now you got cease and desist. So we started looking you up and we realized, man, you spent a lot of time trolling Jay Sekulow before the Mueller report came out. And then, oh, maybe Jay Sekulow is a better attorney. Maybe he was right that Mueller would have nothing. And that, yeah, you political hack lawyers would keep coming at the president with your phony whistleblower deep state actors. And by the way, don't try to call me a conspiracy theorist, Mark. Your client is a mid-level CIA analyst who got hearsay on a phone call and a dispute about policy and filed a whistleblower complaint. That is as deep state as it gets. That's the people you're talking about, right, Mark? The coup? The people who, if one falls, two will stand up? That was another tweet you sent, which is kind of scary sounding. But again, we didn't really know he was also a troll of our chief counsel and the president's, one of the president's top attorneys, Jay Sekulow, my dad. So for all of you out there, now know that the whistleblower's attorney has a personal animus against your chief counsel at the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, and doesn't think much of him. So again, we don't really know much about Mark except for these last 2 days, but he did expose his own client who was trying to protect his anonymity. I think take everything else out, the coup language, the impeachment language, idiotic. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, your whole thing is don't expose the person, don't let anybody know who this is, threaten the president with a cease and desist, yet you've already tweeted out the name. I mean, come on. This is why the whole process, Adam Schiff lied about the contact with the whistleblower. Marie Yovanovitch lied to Lee Zeldin and lied to Adam Schiff and lied to the House Foreign Affairs Committee about her contact with House Democrat staffers when she didn't have to, which makes me suspicious about why she felt she needed to lie when she could have clearly been honest. That she had done actually probably the right thing by passing along the information. And I think it's because she didn't want to get into what conversation she may have had with that House Democrat staffer, if that meeting was okayed, and what she learned about the whistleblower's complaint before we all knew about it, before the transcript of the call was made public, etc. Because we know that None of the three people testifying next week were on that phone call. None of them. So the first three people that Adam Schiff picks all got info based off hearsay. Sometimes it was hearsay based off hearsay based off hearsay. So again, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Kevin's going to get a copy of the next Red Wave. Thanks for holding on, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Navy vet, and I love and support the work of the ACLJ. I have a comment and a question. A comment is somebody ought to read Proverbs 26, 4, and 5, because I think that applies here. My question is, if the laws dealing with whistleblowers don't require anonymity, then why isn't ACLJ and networks like Fox News just going ahead and telling everybody who this person is?
You know, I think, first of all, we've pointed you in the directions where you can go find that out. We're on lots of different broadcasts, lots of different networks. Some networks have policies about it until it's been clarified. But we have told you where you can go. I put out literally, Kevin, you may not see it right now, but if you want to go watch, the tweet from the whistleblower's own attorney with the name in it. I'm not going to stoop to his level and play his game of like screaming out the guy's name for purposes of screaming out the guy's name. It's out there. Now, I do think the mainstream media is being a little bit ridiculous about it, but I think that the truth is it's already known, and it's known because the lawyer put it out there. So, again, we have told you about an article in Real Clear Investigations that named the person, and it had the name. We put up the tweet from the whistleblower's own attorney that named the person. I'm not going to stoop to the level of going and blasting their name out there because, again, it's kind of like blasting out the name of just like a no-good person, a no-good actor. I don't want to make them any more famous than they're going to already have to be if they get pulled before a Senate trial and have to testify because, you know, all of that falls if there's actual trial in the U.S. Senate and you're brought as a witness because guess who's in control of that process? Republicans. Not Adam Schiff. Not Jerry Nadler. Not Nancy Pelosi. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. I do want to do an update. As keep your calls coming in on the whistleblower, on the public hearings next week, on the lies been exposed now by the former ambassador to the Ukraine that she lied to the House Intelligence Committee or one of the committees she was testifying before those three committees that are jointly doing these secret hearings. And so next week, what is she going to, correct her lie? And she's the final witness of next week. Good choice, Adam Schiff. I always say, be careful what you wish for because when you put the cameras on them and the American people get to see them, most of the time the American people say, ugh, these people are not trustworthy. And when you can already point out that they lied about something stupid, you wonder how much are they lying about the serious stuff? Because if you lie about the dumb stuff, then you must be lying a lot about stuff that is really serious, right? I mean, that's usually the inference, at least. It's not a mistake. It was done intentionally, and they were able to clarify that. Let's go back to the phones, and then we'll get into the ICC. Matt, well, let's get into the IC matter and then go back to the phone. So, Scott, hang on. We're going to get you a copy of the next Red Wave. So we've got this case, the International Criminal Court. Wes, with your years and years of service, again, it rises a colonel in the U.S. Army. You brought up another kind of relevant example that's very timely as of right now and how it applies to our case at the International Criminal Court in just a couple of weeks, December 4th through the 6th.
Yeah, you know, we don't want our soldiers on the battlefield to be subject to the International Criminal Court and to be brought up on human rights abuses and war crimes and those kinds of things. However, you know, no judicial system is absolutely perfect, and that includes the military system and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Part of what's going on between now and Veterans Day is the president apparently is thinking about pardoning three United States soldiers, all of whom got in trouble in a combat zone in Afghanistan deployed. One is Lieutenant Clint Lawrence. Lieutenant Lawrence was a platoon leader in Afghanistan. Three Afghans on motorcycles were approaching his unit. They failed to follow his commands to stop. Frequently, that's how suicide bombers attack. He ordered his troops to open fire on these men. Turns out they were unarmed. They charged him with manslaughter. He was tried and convicted in a military court and sentenced to 19 years. He's in Fort Leavenworth, where he's been serving the last 7 years. A week after this happened with Lieutenant Lawrence, another motorcycle, the same unit, approaches troops. This young lieutenant hesitated, probably because of what happened to his colleague, Lieutenant Lawrence, the week before. A suicide bomber detonated the bomb, injured and killed American troops. So that's one of the cases the president is thinking about, dealing with, perhaps pardoning. The other one is just as alarming. Major Matt Goldstein, he was accused of murdering a Taliban bomb maker. He was acquitted, cleared in a military investigation. 7 years later, they brought Major Goldstein, who's a Green Beret, back on active duty from retirement to charge him with murder because the friends and family members of the Taliban bomb maker were interviewed and complained and said that it was an unjustified killing. That's the other one. Of course, the last one is Chief Petty Officer Eddie Gallagher, a Navy SEAL. He was charged with murder also. Was actually acquitted this past July, but reduced in rank. So the president is looking at all three of these. But as I was talking to Will, our producer, this morning, think what would happen if the president could not intervene in cases like this, if it was left up to the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. And the critics of what the president is considering doing between now and Veterans Day say, yes, but it's violating the principles of the Uniform Code of Military Justice and the military judicial system. The president, as commander in chief, is a part of that system. Systems make mistakes, and when they do, they need to be corrected. I personally hope the president will address each of these three. But again, it brings into focus how important it is, because if this were a case against U.S. soldiers before the International Criminal Court, we would have no recourse.
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue, is that they say, well, so you don't have a legal system that we like because the president can come in and pardon, and so that's not going to be a system that we recognize. So guess what? We're still going to put out warrants for these individuals. So if they do travel to any ICC member states, and that could be as close to the U.S. as Mexico or Canada, most of the Caribbean, most of Latin America as well, and of course, Western Europe, we're going to put out warrants for their arrest and then try them at the ICC. Even after they've gone through the process of full trial here, convictions here, and maybe pardons here by the president, or acquittals by the court systems as well. And we have one of the best, most honest, fair systems, if not the best honest and fair system in the world, especially for a large country. We'll take your phone calls when we get back. We'll get back to the whistleblower. Remember our matching challenge. Everything you donate to the ACLJ in the month of November, doubled.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
I see on one of the shows there's concern about the removal of Ambassador Yovanovitch from her post. But then we learned that she lied to these congressional, the impeachment inquiry that's happening, you know, in the basement of the Capitol. So if she's a lied about that, this is not a person that you want in the position of ambassador to a country that's playing this central role in a conflict with Russia, and you got the annexation of Crimea. Thank you, President Obama, for being so tough on Russia and allowing them to go in and annex that large portion of the Ukraine. And an ambassador, which was a holdover from the Trump administration. So, of course, ultimately, you're going to replace those type of people with those who agree with your policy, because you don't want ambassadors in there who are undercutting your foreign policy or who don't support your general foreign policy goals and your specific goals as to the country they represent. But what is interesting, and then we're going to go right to the phones, is that Laura on Facebook wrote in that Mark Zed, the attorney for the whistleblower, so-called whistleblower, who, by the way, exposed the whistleblower's name on his own Twitter account with a retweet. He must not have been thinking clearly, or, you know, it's all to him a game. It's not really a total game, though. We're talking about impeachment of the President of the United States, a duly elected commander-in-chief. And Laura wrote in that Mark Zed has attacked her comments made on Jay Sekulow Live, which means not only has he been an internet Twitter troll of my dad, Jay Sekulow, he's trolling our listeners and callers. So, I mean, that tells you so much about, this is supposed to be nonpartisan, guys. These are supposed to be centrist. And they're attacking our listeners who take the time to call into our radio broadcast. I mean, it is just absurd to understand that. I want to go right to your phones, but I wanted everyone to know that 1-800-684-3110. If you call right now, you might make it on the show today. So 1-800-684-3110. Scott, you've been holding on a long time, so we're going to send you The Next Red Wave, signed by me, and Jerusalem, signed by my dad. We're going to get you two books. Thanks for holding. We've gone through a lot of info today. Go ahead with your question and comment.
Yes, Jordan, hey, thanks for my call. Well, I hope he's listening to this comment here right as well. My comment regarding this Russian collusion 2.0 Ukraine sham is that I read that Representative John Ratcliffe of Texas, the Republican, who's also on the committee, exposed that the timing of the president's call with President Zelensky could not have been a quid pro quo when he got the embassy representatives, John Taylor, and also the ambassador, Marie Yovanovitch, to admit as much, because of the timing of the phone call. And, yeah, you know, and I think that Trump has just got too close to home on the money trail of the corrupt foreign policy alliances of the previous administration. That's what this whole sham is based on.
Listen, people have said, they have testified, the same people testifying have said they had concerns about Hunter Biden. I think George Kent did too. George Kent, who said in his deposition yesterday that was released, in his testimony that was released, being like a deposition because it's behind closed doors in secret, that ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president and therefore can be removed for any reason. You don't have to have a specific reason. You can just remove them. But he also said that there was concerns about Hunter Biden's role because they knew that this was one of the most corrupt, top 20 most corrupt companies in the Ukraine. And Hunter Biden, while his dad is vice president, gets a board seat with the company and making a lot of money from the company. So not all that's in these transcripts it's not all like home runs for the Democrat. Have you noticed that on TV even? I mean, it's pick and choose, but everything about the call is hearsay. The stuff about the Bidens is not. George Kent was saying, like, he brought it up, you know, that he had some concerns about the possible appearance of a conflict of interest is exactly what he says, a possible appearance of a conflict of interest. So I think he was trying to be very careful there because he didn't want to get removed from his position. So he wasn't tough then, but oh, if it's Donald Trump, you know, we'll try to, you know, attack Donald Trump because he wants to get rid of the George Kent types or just cut them out of the process altogether. And, you know, George Kent is interesting because if you go to the beginning of his testimony, he was just mad that he was bypassed as an advisor and no longer looked to for his policy advice. That's what his main goal was. They said, okay, this is not a guy who we really agree with his policy positions. The president absolutely has the right to do. So we don't really want to keep him in the loop. And he got mad about that when it came to Ukraine. So he just has a personal grudge here that he got cut out of the process.
Yeah, he felt like he got bypassed, Jordan, so he's got a grudge, and this is the way to paint it back. Look, I would really encourage our listeners, as they watch these proceedings next week, Jordan, to take all of the testimony in its totality, because what you're going to see is you're going to see Chairman Schiff and those who question from the Democrat side, like you said, try to cherry-pick certain quotes, like, you know, George Kent was concerned that Ambassador Yovanovitch was removed from his her post. But then you have to take that in context with the testimony that when he was questioned on the other side, he said, yes, actually, the president has the right to remove any ambassador for any reason at any time. Jordan, if you take that entire testimony in totality, there's no problem there. What Chairman Schiff is trying to do is cherry pick select portions of it. And Jordan, it's kind of interesting. Even when cherry picking, what you came up with is three witnesses who were not on the phone call. Three hearsay witnesses. That is the strongest argument that Chairman Schiff has to put forward next week. So when our listeners watch it, take all of the testimony in its totality. Don't let him cherry pick.
All right. Final call of the day. Tony in New Jersey on line two. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, Jordan.
Hey, Tony.
I want a quick opinion and then get your opinions all. When the House passes this off to the Senate, I know Mitch McConnell had said he might end up dismissing it, but in all your opinion, wouldn't it be better if this thing went to a full trial, because then the Republicans could run this properly and we can finally bring all this into the light and the country would see the real...
Yeah, I get your point. I think it just depends on how let me tell you this. And Thane, I'll go to you on this. Here's where I think, Tony, and maybe stay on the line. If they're going to do is pull three or four people, they're not going to allow any Republican witnesses to testify or the key ones to testify, and they're not going to allow any real cross-examination by the president's counsel, whether it's the White House counsel, the president's legal team, executive agency counsels, et cetera. And it's going to be based on only the people who have been so far, the only people called so far for public hearings are people who were not on the phone call. One who was removed from their position before in the Ukraine before, one who was cut out of anything having to do with the Ukraine before the call, and another who, he didn't like the fact that he wasn't on the call and didn't get a readout of the call. That's Bill Taylor. But then if they kind of leave it with those kind of people, you might not need a trial because what they had was so weak. And I mean, well, I think that's where you judge it is, you know, if Republicans had no opportunity to cross-examine, if you're only getting three weak witnesses and a lying ambassador like Marie Yovanovitch, who was caught in a lie, so anything she says now can be questioned because she lied about something stupid. If you lie about something stupid, then it brings into question all of the big questions, the big issues as well. That may be the reason why you don't need to hold a full trial, is because they didn't present enough evidence to do so.
There would be no foundation to move forward, Jordan. I mean, if there is no premise, and if the Chief Justice is sitting there and the Republican senators, or really senators from both sides, look at the process and the evidence, Jordan, and say there's nothing to proceed on, then I think a motion to dismiss before going through all of the rigmarole, I think it's appropriate, and I think it would be the action they would take.
So to answer Tony, I think it depends on what happens. You don't want to say one or the other yet, but I feel like it's leaning the way Adam Schiff's kind of tell us. Remember our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support our work. We need your support. It'll double the impact of your donation.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.